This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate, and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions, so sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment, and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of Outspoken. Today's episode's a little bit different for us because we're all in lockdown in Adelaide and we're recording this for the first time remotely. We've got everybody on Zoom. Kate said I look like a gamer when I appeared on the Zoom. Kate, you got to tell us how your lockdown's going so far.
Well, I was going to say I look like a weirdo because I've got a sock over my microphone and it's a dirty old one, so it's not smelling great. I saw the girls on Mamma Mia out loud putting socks on their microphone, so I'm hoping it actually improves the sound quality rather than
it sounds like on Mean Girls I saw Regina George wearing flip-flops and army pants, so
yeah, exactly. Well, my lockdown hasn't been going too bad. I'm just trying to keep positive. We are only on day two and I've been really enjoying going for a big walk, so we can only go for a walk within 2.5 k's of our house, and luckily I have the most beautiful river walk within that 2.5 k's. So I have been going on long river walks and listening to Pieces of Britney, which I have been really enjoying, that new podcast.
I feel like you're the that girl of lockdown, Kate, because you're the that girl that will cook during lockdown, you'll do a puzzle, you'll sit by the fire.
I'm trying to be that girl. I actually did two workouts today and a walk, so I don't know how long that motivation is going to last for. How about you, Sophie? I know you're not as positive.
No, I feel like everyone else is thriving at the moment, but I'm definitely not. So at the moment in Adelaide today, it is the coldest day it's been in years and my heater doesn't work downstairs. So I'm currently living in an icebox situation. What also makes it a little bit challenging is that Amy and I are, of course, small business owners. We have our agency Hula Media, and it's been a little bit difficult this week just navigating all the loose ends, but luckily for us we were ultra busy last week, so this week was supposed to be more of a planning week. But I'm really feeling for all the businesses out there who are struggling through this as well.
Do you know what's been keeping me entertained in lockdown is that Sydney comedian who has been able to predict for 5 days running the correct number of COVID cases in New South Wales. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with this, but he was giving out predictions the night before Gladys's press conferences and every prediction was correct. So as a result, people believe there is a leak in the New South Wales Health Department, but the comedian's come out and denied all of this.
Yeah, I saw him on the project and he was like writing on a whiteboard saying that he has a whole bunch of algorithms that he uses to come up with the stat. However, he did get it wrong on the sixth day. So his streak came to an end on Monday when he incorrectly predicted 109 cases instead of 98. Do you guys think that there was a leak and possibly someone fed him some incorrect information to try and catch him out like a sting?
I 100% think that there was a leak involved. You think about the number of people that work in the health department there. Surely someone is friends with this guy and has been tipping him off.
Well, there are reports that there was a sting to catch out the insider at the health department, but the health minister has actually denied this. So it's thought that the health minister has given out fake numbers to different staffers to then see which number is predicted the next day. So obviously the comedian got it wrong. So they'll be able to trace that back to whoever allegedly gave him that number.
Well, in Adelaide, our own Chief Public Health Officer, Professor Nicola Spurrier, has been gaining popularity online, and this is due to her hilarious one-liners in press conferences. I also think it has a lot to do with a page in Adelaide called Shit Adelaide. This page is legendary for anyone who is from our state. Everyone knows about it. So basically, they have touted her as Saint Nicola. So they've gone as far as creating merchandise of her. So around Christmas time, you could buy little air fresheners that people were sticking up on the top of their tree saying that she was an angel. And they've also most recently been sharing some hilarious memes of her from the press conference. Amy, can you tell us about some of these memes?
Yeah, well, yesterday Nicola made the mistake of wearing a red and white striped jacket. And as soon as I saw her come on to the press conference, I Snapchatted you guys a picture saying, oh my God, she looks like Where's Wally? And it seems like a lot of people obviously thought this too, because people sent in the meme to Shit Adelaide and they put this up. Nicola also came out with this banger of a comment.
try to stay home as much as possible. If you've got plenty of food at home, then use the food that you've got at home. And just try and relax, try and, you know, think of some hobbies to do. As I said to my husband when I left home this morning, this is the day you can tidy up your sock drawer. Okay, try and think of some things that are, take your mind off the fact that you're in lockdown.
I think listening to this Grab, listeners can pick up on the fact of why people love Nicola so much. She's really good at using random examples to explain something that's really complex. And I think people really like her because she's just so personable. She's not this stuffy professor who is trying to be so serious on the matter.
Well, Nicola actually responded to all of the social media memes during a press conference today. Do you guys want to have a listen to what she said?
People took your advice to reorganise their sock drawers. What's the husband's job today? And if other people are following along, what are they doing today?
Oh, well, my dear husband had a lot of friends emailing him, asking him how he was going. He's a very tidy person and also extremely talented in other ways as well, but happens to be in lockdown because his business is closed. He has quite a few other drawers to tidy up, quite a number of sheds as well, and I think many of you will appreciate husband's sheds can sometimes be quite an interesting place.
I do love how creative people are getting in lockdown. They've even created a song from Nicola's quote about her husband tidying his sock drawer.
Tidy up your sock drawer. Tidy up your sock drawer. Take your mind off the fact that you're in lockdown. Tidy up your sock drawer. Tidy up your sock drawer.
An Australian shop assistant has told the Daily Mail about her encounter with Zac Efron whilst he was in Sydney earlier this year filming a movie. The woman was working at a health food store when Zac, his brother Dylan, and his then girlfriend Vanessa stopped by. Now, what's got people talking is Zac's shopping list. He bought gold gummies, apple cider vinegar, natural deodorant, and vegan condoms. He also apparently swapped shirts in the store with his brother to reveal, I quote, "They're ripped as fuck bodies." So this was a quote in the Daily Mail.
Direct quote.
And when I read this article, I couldn't help but think of a recent video produced by the Inspired Unemployed, which showed one of the boys stressing out about being seen buying condoms. For those who haven't seen the video, let's have a listen.
All right, let's just be quick. Where are they? Where are they? Oh, there they are. All right, just grab the dummies and get out of here. Oh, fuck. Oh, my God, no. Oh. Oh no, fuck, they're all looking at me. They're all looking. Oh no.
How embarrassing! Is this guy serious?
Oh my God, what a creep!
Guys, look at this, he's buying dummies!
What? No way!
And they're extra small!
Make it stop. Please make it stop.
I feel like this is so spot on for every boy that is in that situation.
But it seems like Zach's the total opposite because he didn't mind bringing attention to himself at all. It's not like he snuck in and was like, oh, can I just have these? He's stripped off in front of them. He's brought his girlfriend and brother into the store.
What is a vegan condom? Like, what makes it vegan?
Well, they're apparently not vegan because to make latex more soft, they actually use an animal substance called casein, which is a milk protein. So you'll learn something new every day.
Going back to the Inspired Unemployed's video, I reckon it's going to be so much easier for men to buy condoms at the shop at the moment because at least they've got their mask to conceal their identities.
Do you know what? I've been so embarrassed to buy bloody toilet paper. You know, when you actually need it and it comes to be a lockdown situation and then you just look like one of those pricks that are just hoarding it, because I actually had to buy paper towel the other day and I really tried to conceal it in my bag because I thought it kind of looked like toilet paper and I didn't want to be ashamed.
I feel so smug because I did my big shop on Saturday and Amy and Sophie always pay me out for doing my big shop, but I got a massive 48 pack of toilet paper and I'm just really happy about that at the moment.
One of the girl's hair is going green.
Hello.
And the chlorine. I know.
Be careful.
I was plaiting Lucinda's hair and she had like green strands in it.
To tell her?
Yeah. She was panicking.
Oh no.
She was like, oh my God. You're joking.
That's what she sounds like. Is it really? What am I going to do?
Rhys Hawkins revealed on Monday that he is on his way to the US. Tammy Hembro's former beau took a selfie on a sunbed and wrote, "Being busy," with Dubai tagged in the location. So we were all hypothesizing a couple of weeks ago whether he had split from his American wife, London, but it appears not. It appears he's actually making the move to America.
Well, I'm not really surprised. I mean, I know we did discuss that there were rumours about them splitting, as you said, but they've just had a baby together. Obviously, London's going to want to return home at some point to show Stone off to her family. It just happens to be that it's during a pandemic, which is unfortunate.
It still cracks me up that their son is called Stone. I feel so sorry for that kid. Anyway, the couple have taken their dogs, Aspen and Doug, so it appears the move could be permanent.
Yeah, well, what about his other children, Saskia and Wolf? I wonder how they feel about the move.
Well, it's pretty interesting because about a year and a half ago, Tammy was talking about moving to the US, and I don't think Reese was very happy about it. So perhaps he has spoken to Tammy and maybe she's going to go over to the US as well. You just don't know about what's been going on behind the scenes.
I feel like now that the vaccine has been rolled out quite quickly in the US, many more influencers will be heading back over there.
Yeah, especially if you can travel.
Hello, my chickens. Oh, my God, I'm so happy that I'm vlogging right now. So I miss you guys so freaking much. I have so much to catch you all up on.
After a four-month hiatus, Shani Grimmen has returned to YouTube. The video called A Realistic Day in the Life of an Influencer / Business Owner has already received 41,000 views since it was released and is trending on YouTube. Now, Kate, for those who don't know, who is Shani Grimmen?
Well, Shani is a 24-year-old Brisbane influencer who is considered one of Australia's OG influencers. She currently has 1.4 million followers on Instagram and 1.52 million subscribers on YouTube. So Shani started her YouTube channel 8 years ago when she was 16 and gained popularity by sharing makeup tutorials. It's quite hilarious because one of her first YouTube uploads is when she's doing her best friend Chloe Zepp's makeup. So it's a real nostalgic video. Shani's popularity peaked in around 2016 when she befriended beauty YouTuber Michael Finch. Together, the pair filmed travel vlogs and even launched their own merchandise. And they even had their own catchphrases, including Bindi, see ya. And they even kind of had their own language for a while then that kind of started pissing a lot of people off. So
I love how you describe it so seriously.
I know. Well, they were also a part of this big influencer friendship group that included Lily Brown, Rani Bransbury, and Skye Wheatley. And at the peak of her popularity, Shani dated accountant turned influencer Jonathan Sauer. She then moved on to a footballer, Tommy Bug, who ended his football career to start up an influencer agency that she became a talent for. And she's now dating DJ Jacob Tompkins and owns her own swimwear brand, Silk Swim. So Amy, what were Shani's reasons for her hiatus from YouTube?
Well, Shani's been missing from YouTube for over 4 months, and she cited being busy and stressed as a reason for not uploading on her YouTube channel. So this is what she said.
The reason why I stopped posting, one is because it is so hard running a business alone. And then also, well, I have two businesses and it's really, really hard to keep up. And I was like, well, no one's going to want to watch my vlogs if I'm like just busy and stressed in the whole vlog. So I was like, I'll wait until I'm like not as stressed to film. What, 4 months later, I'm here vlogging.
Shani also said she has been loving Emma Chamberlain's vlogs where she doesn't really do anything. So she's going to take inspiration from these videos. She also said her aim is to eventually vlog once a week, but she's only going to film when she's got a day off.
I find it so funny how influencers think that we want to watch them doing nothing. Like, if she's so busy, why not document that? I've heard Sarah's Day say it a lot that, oh, I'm just too busy working that I can't pick the camera up. But then it's like, but then you're happy to just show yourself doing nothing around the house. I think she would be more relatable if she actually showed us working, because when you watch a YouTuber and all you see them do is make a smoothie bowl and go to the gym, you're like, oh my God, they're so unrelatable. Like, most of us are at work. So it might actually be beneficial for them to actually show what their work life is like.
I agree. And I couldn't help but notice that her return to YouTube also coincides with her releasing a loungewear brand. And she's done it before. I remember she took a hiatus from YouTube for a number of months and then suddenly returned with a vlog about her doing a silk swimwear shoot as well.
Can I just say, the loungewear brand is the most uninspiring thing. It looks like a carbon copy of literally everyone, every influencer's loungewear. It's got that kind of country road style embroidery on the jumper that we've seen everyone rip off.
Shani also revealed in this video that she has a new manager. Now, this is off the back of her ex-boyfriend Tommy Bug's company Zoots announcing they were no longer working together. So Shani really raved about this new manager and said that she's getting her a lot of jobs. She also said how after talking with Lily Brown about her having a PA, she is also going to employ one.
I suppose if Shani has got a PA, then she might have time to vlog doing nothing, because I feel like the PA would really pick up doing Shani's emails and all of those sort of admin tasks that probably are bogging her down a bit.
What I don't understand is, how do none of these YouTubers realize that, you know, they all seem to get really invested in their businesses, which is great, but they don't seem to realize that the reason people are buying their products is because they feel like they're their friends and that they know them from YouTube, and then they suddenly stop putting out content. People feel disconnected from them.
Well, it doesn't seem like Shani's having any issues bringing in money from her fans, because she announced that she's just bought a new Mercedes. So I quickly Googled the model because I've got a lot of time in lockdown, and it cost $124,000. This comes off the back of Shani buying her dream car 4 years ago, which was a Land Rover SUV. So another very expensive car. She also vlogged 6 years ago when she upgraded her, I suppose, shitty teenage car to a Kia. So it seems like she's got a lot of cash out there to be buying very expensive cars.
Look, I don't think there's anything wrong with people being proud of showing off their car that they've earned through their own hard work. I think it probably just hits harder for people at the moment who are going perhaps through financial struggles with COVID happening. Maybe it wasn't the most relatable thing to show on your YouTube channel.
You say hard work, Sophie, but I don't really think Shani has been slogging it out doing big hours. I think she is very fortunate to be in a job like influencing, where you get paid a lot of money for not particularly doing that much.
Look, I kind of agree with both of your points. I think the thing is that seems a bit off to me, though, is when influencers are clearly earning a lot of money and it's due to the people that follow them buying all of their products. And then when they can't be bothered to put out content for their followers to consume, that's when I think people start to turn on different influencers. I did enjoy Shani's return to YouTube, though, because she is just such a natural vlogger. So I am really excited personally that she is going to start releasing at least a YouTube a month. A week.
Well, it seems like her boyfriend, Jacob, is actually going to be a bit of a feature on her YouTube channel. And we haven't seen Shani with a boyfriend on her YouTube for a while because her last partner, Tommy Bug, he did not really want to feature on the videos. Shani was in her absolute peak when she was dating Jonathan back in the day. So I feel like the inclusion of Jacob is going to help her popularity come back. So she did tease us a little bit with Jacob in a Q&A. I mean, in true vlogger style, it did end abruptly because Shani's camera ran out of batteries. But she did share that she actually met Jacob through an old friend. And I found the term old friend pretty interesting because it kind of inferred that that friendship has broken up.
Wasn't she introduced to Tommy Bug from Chloe Zepp? It seems like she meets a lot of her boyfriend through friends.
Well, yeah, I suppose that's quite a normal thing. I will find it very interesting to see how Jacob evolves on her YouTube channel because I feel like he has got a very much a look to be an influencer. So if they break up, he could have his own lucrative career on his own, I feel.
Definitely.
Just to wrap up, someone who is trying to make a career off the back of Shani is her former housemate, Josh. So Josh became a very popular fixture in her vlogs when she was actually vlogging about a year ago. However, we got an update from him. He's no longer living with Shani, but he started his own YouTube channel. What a surprise.
He's also got his own OnlyFans as well.
I don't want to sign up for that. No, thank you.
Great response on that last video. I had so many people reach out to me and say thanks for sharing just the reality of what relationships look like.
On Sunday, Mitchell Orville shared a new vlog to YouTube entitled Family Sundays and Car Chats. The video showed Mitch, Chloe and their son Artie at an animal sanctuary meeting lorikeets, which are apparently Artie's favourite bird. While the video was really cute and it was great to see them back together as a family following Mitch's last vlog where he discussed that he and Chloe were having relationship issues, many followers were angered that the couple weren't wearing masks. So this is despite mask wearing being compulsory in the Gold Coast where they live. All the zookeepers in the vlog were all masked up, as were the other people at the animal sanctuary. Also in Queensland, it's a $206 fine for not complying.
Well, I feel like $206 to Chloe and Mitch would probably be like old change down the back of their couch. So I feel like they could probably cop the fine pretty easily.
What's set a lot of tongues wagging in this YouTube video, though, was when Mitch described Chloe as fucking lazy. So Mitch was telling his friend how he and Chloe had had a great chat the night before and that they realized that they were both really sensitive people. So Mitch went on to say that they used to dance around each other's feelings and dodge having tough conversations, but they decided that it needed to stop. So let's have a listen to what he exactly said.
But having the tough conversation is... it's the perfect way to do it because it's done and it's over. Like last night, she was like this, there was like four different things that she said to me that was like pretty, she's like, don't harden the fuck up. I told her that she's like lazy as fuck. She's got all this information, but she's just lazy. She's like, you always pay people to do this or do that. I'm like, there's some things that you can't pay someone to do or some things that you have to do yourself. Like, so last night I was like, you're fucking lazy. And she was like laughing. She was like, I know, like I'm scared, like,
But you sounds like you were both in a position to listen to each other and you weren't reacting.
Correct.
To hear, you were both.
We created a safe space to be like, let out, what's where's the resentment coming from? What are you holding in that you'd love to be able to say right now, you know? Yeah. Here's a safe place to say so, say it. So I was like, we had that and now it's like, we both have things that we know we have to work on.
Amy, what were your thoughts about Mitch's comments?
Well, I was pretty surprised he actually left that in the vlog because I thought it really did open Chloe up for criticism. Because I feel like, I mean, Chloe is very much under the microscope at the moment in regards to her anti-vax comments. But also being an influencer, people are clearly envious of her life. And, you know, she is one to sort of splash her cash. So I can see people tearing her apart online and saying, well, she is fucking lazy and she does nothing and she gets all this money.
Well, Mitch was saying that Chloe just pays people to do everyday tasks for her, and obviously that didn't come up too favorably towards her. And I do wonder if this sudden commentary about laziness is coming from the fact that Mitch seems to be really inspired at the moment with his life. He seems to be a real go-getter at the moment. He's working out 3 times a week. He seems to be practicing mindfulness. He seems to always be on the go. So maybe he wants a partner that is sharing in some of those passions like he does. Maybe that's what he's referring to.
To be honest, I don't think he was really trying to have a massive dig at her. I almost think he was trying to inspire her in a way, because I think that Chloe would have a lot of ideas and in regards to business ideas that she would like to do. And maybe he thinks that she should go and sort of take the bull by the horns a bit more.
Well, that's bullshit, I think, because she has put up with him for years. And he has said this himself, that he's been lazy and he sleeps in and doesn't do anything. And I feel like she has been always more of a go-getter than he has. Maybe he's kind of reflecting what he used to be like on her almost, and he's trying to change the roles up and be more of a go-getter and inspirational. Maybe he's believing some of his own hype, because I have seen him getting a lot of messages from his followers saying how inspirational he has been to them.
Well, going back to Amy's original comment about him maybe trying to push Chloe to do more things and get outside of her comfort zone, we did see that later in the vlog where he spoke about how he had created a song that had become really popular and they were then heading to a friend's house for Chloe to record her own song.
Assuming they're not they're not singing to it.
No, they've written it. Well, he had a couple of bongo drums and wind chimes, and he said that these were some of Chloe's favorite things, so he was encouraging her to use them to make music.
Just back to your point about Chloe Zett being really driven, I actually think that it's always been Mitchell that's been pushing her to do things, and maybe that's where the comments come from. He also said that she had said a few honest things to him as well, and she said that he needed to man up a bit more. So I just wanted to point that out as well, because I don't want to go too hard on Mitch, because I actually think he has turned his life around a lot and he is quite inspirational.
Well, we can kind of see that with the fact that he's always the one pushing the YouTube channel, even now how he started to become more of a permanent fixture. Maybe he's frustrated that she doesn't seem to be, you know, taking up that opportunity that they have there to connect with their audience.
Stephanie, will you accept this rose?
Thanks, Jimmy.
The Bachelor Australia returned to screens on Wednesday night to its lowest ever ratings. Just 482,000 Metro viewers tuned in to see pilot Jimmy on his mission to find love. So Seven's Farmer Wants a Wife won the ratings on Wednesday night with 835,000 viewers. So it seems it was really poor timing on Ten's behalf to play The Bachelor, because Farmer Wants a Wife is still going and people are hooked to it.
I feel like I must be living under a rock because I didn't realise that Farmer Wants a Wife was so popular. I haven't been watching it because I've only had time to be watching Love Island. Now that I'm in lockdown, I probably should catch up on Farmer Wants a Wife. I'm assuming it's one of the back channels.
No, it's on the Seven app. It's really, really popular. I've heard so many people talking about it, and there's a controversy involving one of the farmers that was on A Current Affair recently. He's been accused of domestic violence. So it is hugely popular, which I think has been a surprise to everybody, including the Seven network. But it seems that Seven have done a really good job in finding a show that I suppose appeals to the female audience and then putting it on at a time where The Bachelor's on. So it's quite hard for Ten to come back from this, because normally if you miss the first episode of The Bachelor, you're probably not going to tune in because you've missed everyone's backstories.
Do you know what? I think that people have Bachelor fatigue. I'm experiencing it. I didn't actually realize it was on last night, probably because the only TV that works in my house is the one downstairs with no heating, and I couldn't be bothered to brave it out and sit there and watch it. I kind of felt like I had to watch it, but I wasn't excited to watch it. The first show never grabs me. I feel like it's always lame and boring.
Well, it was pretty boring towards the end. I did enjoy the first half. I feel like the casting's quite good. There's a few quirky women there. However, as you said, as it sort of continued on, it kind of dragged out. And I just think the formula is old and it's been done. Like, keep the concept the same, but jazz it up a bit. I mean, everyone's hooked on Love Island because it's kind of joined a whole bunch of reality shows together. It's got that Big Brother element. It's also got the love element and a competitive element all in one, whereas The Bachelor's just been left behind, well, particularly the Australian one. I think the American one still is good.
It's so overproduced as well. We all know the formula by now. Let's make someone the villain. Let's make someone the hero. Everyone's sick of it because they know how edited it is. But with a show like Love Island, where there's kind of more cast, I feel like anything can really happen. I don't know. I just feel like it's just a bit old hat now. We're all a bit over it.
Let's not forget, though, as well, you're talking about Love Island UK, and I must say that the UK reality shows are just that much better than the Aussie ones. But back to The Bachelor, I couldn't get over Jimmy's parents' house. It looked better than his bloody apparent mansion that he's staying in as part of The Bachelor.
Insane. My first reaction was, this must be a fake house, a prop house, because The Bachelor producers have done that in the past. So one of our very clever listeners has done some digging, and she's found out that Jimmy's dad, Noel, is a director and licensee at Ray White. So they had a profile on the Ray White website about him, and there's this hilarious video of him at his house looking out at the view of the beach, and then he's like driving around in this fancy sports car. And he actually also gets into a plane. I'm presuming it's his own personal plane, and starts flying it. So it seems like the family are very well to do. The mum's a psychologist. They've got a bit of coin.
Well, one of the contestants, Annabelle, who was one of the two women who didn't receive a rose on Wednesday, has allegedly come out and accused Jimmy of being a privileged playboy with no shortage of female attention. And according to the Daily Mail, a production insider claims that this was because Annabelle recognised him off a dating app and questioned why he was actually on the show.
Well, do you guys remember on Life Uncut, Brittany and Laura, they both said that they had matched with him on dating apps prior to meeting their partners. So I feel like he's one of those guys that must just keep doing the rounds. Like, he just keeps popping up on Tinder and Bumble. And this girl's seen him and gone, what the hell? Like, I didn't sign up to The Bachelor to get some Tinder random.
Yeah, but are any of us actually meant to believe that these people are on The Bachelor because they can't find love? Like, it's all about boosting their own profiles. That's just so stupid.
Well, the production insider told the Daily Mail that apparently Annabelle started telling some of the other girls about Jimmy's history on Tinder and on Bumble, and they wanted to get her out of the show because they didn't want to start this narrative about Jimmy in the house, because they obviously want all the girls to like him, to start fighting over him.
Well, it seems like they don't want a repeat of history with Lockie from last season of The Bachelor. Yeah. So I do like Jimmy. I think he's a good pick. I have enjoyed him on The Bachelor so far. Who are your favourite women? Because I could not get past the woman who talked about holding in her farts. I still don't know how I felt about it. Like, I think it was great that they were normalizing women farting, but I just don't think it came across the best.
Well, I had it on and it was because Dale was still in his office working. So I switched it on and he came out and I was like, oh, don't worry, I'll turn it off. We'll watch something else while you're out here. And then, you know, when you can kind of tell, like, he was making some food and he was kind of like, you could tell hearing he was secretly trying to watch it. Yeah. And then that fart comment came out and he's like, did you hear what she just said? Like, what the hell? So I don't know. It's something I probably wouldn't want on national television. Then again, we have spoken about cake and green poo on the podcast. True, so we're true. Not one to judge at all.
My other favorite interaction when they did their first little meeting was Stevie, because she bought her little dog that was had a little bow tie and the dog tried to bite Jimmy. That was classic.
They all seem to have their special little intro, didn't they? And I do think it's clever because you want to be remembered if you're one of the contestants, because I can imagine you could start forgetting everybody's names and where they're from.
I love how you think that it's just a fun thing that the girls do. Like, surely the producers have given them ideas on what to do, because that chessboard clearly had to be hired by the prop department.
When Big Brother mentioned gruel, I mean, I've never seen gruel in my life. I thought it was made up for Oliver Twist film.
Now, we've decided to bring back our recommendation segment, seeing as a lot of us are in lockdown. Kate, can you kick us off with a recommendation?
So I have binge watched Never Have I Ever on Netflix, and it's a comedy drama series about an Indian American high school student called Davey. So Davey's a bit of a loser at the school, and the series starts off in her second year at high school. And she's had such a horror year socially in a freshman year that she's trying to turn it all around and change her social status. So it's very funny, particularly for those who were nerds at high school like myself. So the show has really been praised for breaking Southeast Asian stereotypes and being hailed as a bit of a watershed moment for Southeast Asian representation in Hollywood. So I would really recommend giving it a go. Sophie, what about you?
So my recommendation is a bit of a different one. It's actually a nail polish set and it's perfect for anyone who is in lockdown at the moment. It's called Dazzle Dry Nails and I came across them because one of my clients at work, she always has flawless fingernails and I assumed that she got S&S nails done professionally. Anyway, she told me it was this special type of nail polish. It's actually incredible. It is a little bit on the pricey side, but I've had it on for almost a week now and none of my nails have chipped. It's crazy. I've already talked you into getting it, Kate.
Yeah, mine's on the way. It took me about 2 days to pick which nail color I wanted, but I've gone with Boss and I'm very excited for it to arrive in the mail, hopefully soon.
I've totally tuned out of this conversation. I cannot stand when you guys start talking about fingernails or hair or anything. So,
well, you're just going to be jealous about nails.
I've got a recommendation. And this one's on Amazon Prime. It's for the show Lux Listings. And it is a bit of it's a reality show based in Sydney and it follows the lives of real estate agents who are selling luxury properties. So it is a reality show, but it's really good because Dale hates reality shows, but because they show so many beautiful houses, he likes that element of it. So we finally found a show we can watch in lockdown together.
I feel like that's a bit of a basic bitch recommendation, Amy. I feel like literally everyone is recommending that show at the moment. I'm probably going to start watching it tonight though, so I'll let you know if I like it or not. I think that's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, please make sure you are subscribed on Apple Podcasts and also Spotify and leave us a 5-star rating.
And we would love to see where you're listening to the podcast from. So if you're out on your walk and you're in lockdown, share an Insta story of where you are and tag us.
And come in and join in on all the conversations going on in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.